Texas takes the tower sequestration bull by the horns. Sun and Fun facing financial challenges from sequestration. And all on board a Cirrus SR-22 are saved by the ice. This is Aero News for Tuesday, April 2, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. In an effort to ensure safety at 13 municipal airports in Texas, the Texas Department of Transportation said last week it intends to fund continued service of air traffic controllers when federal funding goes away as a result of sequestration or budget cuts. This action is pending Texas Transportation Commission approval and will be acted upon in an emergency session this week. The action would enable continued service for 13 airports. Phil Wilson, the Texas DOT Executive Director, explained the move, saying, quote, "Flying is an integral part of commerce in Texas. Local communities are counting on these airports to remain open for continued economic success," end quote. When automatic budget cuts from the federal government went into effect last month, Texas regional airports were caught in the crosshairs and were scheduled to lose funding for air traffic control service positions beginning April 7th. Had this funding not been considered, a degradation of safety in those flight operations could have occurred. The organizers of the Sun and Fun fly-in, scheduled to begin April 9th, may wish they were in Texas instead of Florida, as they are reportedly facing a $300,000 bill to maintain air traffic control services during the show. Officials say they will need about 70 temporary controllers to handle the traffic that's expected to descend on Lakeland, Florida next week. John Leinhouts, the events director, said that the show will go on as usual, but that there have been difficult decisions that have had to be made in order for that to happen. Leinhouts said that if something needs to be cut, it would be some of the entertainment for the show and some of the outreach programs that are associated with the event. He also said some creature comforts, like porta-potties, could be reduced in order to make up the shortfall. Quote, "Money that we would have used to help kids further their education won't be there," end quote, he told the Tampa, Florida cable television channel Bay News 7. The Polk County Tourism Department said it was trying to secure some emergency funding to help the event over the financial hump tossed its way by sequestration. Spokesman Mark Jackson said the event has an annual economic impact of about $57 million, quote, "that we simply can't afford to lose," end quote. A Cirrus S-22 reportedly suffered engine problems on Friday morning and went down on frozen Lake Lakota in Alexandria, Minnesota, about 10:30 Central Daylight Time. A family of four was on board the airplane at the time of the accident, but no one was seriously injured. The Grand Forks Herald reports that the pilot, Hamid Reza Abbasi, had his wife and two children on board the airplane, which FAA records indicate is a 2012 SR-22T. It was reportedly heading to the Alexandria Airport when witnesses on the shore of the lake said the engine made a sputtering noise, followed by the loud bang of the airplane's parachute being deployed. The airplane came down slightly nose first on the frozen lake, breaking enough ice to let some water flow to the surface, but not enough to allow the airplane to sink. The extent of the damage to the airplane was not known. One person who lives near the lake said that last year at this time, the ice on the lake had melted. Had that been the case on Friday, he said, that accident, quote, could have been much worse, end quote. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce held its 12th annual aviation summit last Thursday, bringing top experts and leaders from all sectors of aviation to discuss critical issues facing the industry. The event examined many of the challenges impacting the efficiency and growth of airlines, including rising fuel prices, onerous environmental regulations, runway availability, and the implementation of the Next-Gen Air Traffic Modernization Program. The Wall Street Journal reports that one interesting tidbit coming from the summit was U.S. Airways CEO Doug Parker saying that he has not decided whether to keep the new branding and logo rolled out for American Airlines last month. Parker will assume the role of chief executive of the merged airline if it is approved by antitrust and other officials. The new logo and livery were introduced shortly before the merger deal was announced on Valentine's Day to mixed industry reviews. Parker said that the two airlines were, quote-unquote, on track to complete the merger by the third quarter of this year. The owner of a Zodiac 601XL airplane was fatally injured after being ejected from the aircraft during a lesson. Authorities said neither person on board the airplane was wearing a seatbelt at the time of the accident. The flight originated at Collegiate Municipal Airport near Chattanooga, Tennessee, An unspecified malfunction reportedly caused the airplane to suddenly nosedive during the flight at about 2,500 feet. The Chattanooga Times Free Press reports that the canopy of the airplane flew open, and the student owner of the airplane was thrown from the aircraft. The instructor was able to land the plane safely. Neither person has been identified by authorities, but the television station reports that the owner of the Zodiac was an experienced pilot who had recently purchased the aircraft and wanted more training. Wind Aero News continues. Solar Impulse to tour America. B-2's peacekeeping in Korea. And the FAA is listening.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Tuesday, April the 2nd. I'm Glenn Moyer. Bertrand Piccard and André Borschberg, the Swiss pilots and founders of Solar Impulse, announced Thursday that their solar-powered airplane will attempt a coast-to-coast crossing of the United States this spring without using a single drop of fuel. It will be the first time that an airplane capable of flying 24 hours nonstop day and night powered exclusively by solar energy will fly across America. Solar Impulse will leave in early May from San Francisco's Moffett Airfield and stop in four U.S. cities, including Phoenix, Dallas-Fort Worth, and Washington, D.C., before reaching the New York's JFK Airport, its final destination in early July. Following in the footsteps of the American founding fathers of aviation, Solar Impulse's pioneering endeavor across the U.S. will be a highly significant one. It is the last mission before attempting a zero-fuel round-the-world flight in 2015. Solar Impulse wants to inspire and motivate as many people as possible throughout its journey across America. In order to give everyone the possibility to be part of the adventure, Solar Impulse will organize conferences and events on educational themes in the various stopover cities where the airplane will be showcased. All of the flights and most conferences will be live-streamed on the Solar Impulse website. U.S. Strategic Command officials sent two B-2 Spirit bombers for a long-duration round-trip training mission from Whiteman Air Force Base, Montana, to South Korea on March the 28th as part of the ongoing bilateral Full Eagle training exercise. The exercise demonstrates the commitment of the United States and its capability to defend South Korea and to provide extended deterrence to our allies in the Asia-Pacific region. This mission by two B-2 Spirit bombers assigned to the 509th Bomb Wing, which demonstrates the United States' ability to conduct long-range precision strikes quickly and at will, involved flying more than 6,500 miles to the Korean Peninsula, dropping inert munitions, and returning to the continental U.S. in a single continuous mission. The United States is steadfast in its alliance commitment to the defense of South Korea, to deterring aggression, and to ensuring peace and stability in that region. The FAA will hold an online public engagement session on Wednesday, April 3rd, from noon to 2 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, to provide the public with an opportunity to comment on the agency's proposed privacy policy for unmanned aircraft systems. The FAA will provide a brief overview of the UAS test site program and proposed privacy policy, and then take comments from participants. Each participant will have 3 minutes for comments. The FAA will listen and record all comments, but will not answer any questions during the session. Under the FAA privacy proposal, each test site operator must ensure that its privacy policies are informed by Fair Information Practice Principles, a widely accepted framework of privacy principles at the core of numerous federal and state privacy laws. Each site operator and its team members will be required to operate in accordance with federal, state, and other laws regarding the protection of an individual's right to privacy. For more information or to register for tomorrow's online session, simply log on to the FAA website at www.faa.gov. Of course, Aero News is online 24/7, 365 with our daily PropWatch news feed on our website, www.aero-news.net, and with these AeroCast, Monday through Friday, and with our twice-weekly airborne video casts on Aero TV. We hope you'll log on and join us. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.